Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, it's the middle of the winter, right? We got the doldrums, the blahs, whatever you want to call them. But that doesn't mean anything if you're a grilling guy, because you know you've got your equipment out back, and if you've stuck it away in your garage, then we're clipping your man card. Because you are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network, and we're going to talk some grilling. I'm Jop, he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, welcome to the tastiest, smokiest bit of airwaves in America right now. It is the Grilling Guys. Check us out online, the interweb, thegrillingguys.com, okay? Great resource. Lots of, you can podcast us. There's lots of recipes, referrals. There's a whole list of sponsors on the right that if you click the link, it'll take you right to their current sale page. So if you want a thermopen or if you're looking for anything like that, you can follow us on Facebook /TheGrillingGuys. And I'm on Twitter, Grilling Guy.
Check out that Stormy Cromer link too, man. This is the time of year. I'm wearing, Bob's got his Stormy on this morning here in the studio, but this is the time of year where you Stormy up, man.
Yes.
It feels so good.
Oh, it does.
And it looks
does.
Good. And
it does.
People compliment you. So that Stormy Cromer is the way to go.
And I see them all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
I just about talk to every person I see wearing one. I at least compliment them on their hat. And they totter their head and smirks like, yeah. Thanks.
Yeah. This weekend, this past weekend after the show last week, you might have remembered if you tuned in that I was headed out to a place called Reed's Lake, which is in Grand Rapids here, and we had 51 Cub Scouts out there.
Nice.
But it was a little tenuous because there was about a foot of snow on the ice. So a couple of guys brought shovels, and we shoveled it away so they weren't wallering in the snow.
Yep.
But with the weight of the snow, every time we punched a hole in the ice, and there was a good 10 inches of really good ice underneath it, the water came spooting out like a and so we had these pathways where everybody could stand, and they were flooded with like 3 inches of water.
Well, wow.
Some of those scouts brought their little brothers and sisters with them. Rip, slip, fall, they're swimming on top of the ice in like 3 inches of water. We had all kinds of little sopping wet kids, and I had brought a tent out because the wind was blowing pretty hard that day, and I brought out like those ones that like maybe AT&T uses when they put over top of their manholes.
Yeah. Sure.
One of those.
Like a deer blind.
Right, yeah. Yep. So I set it up with the opening downwind and put that grill in there. Well, that became the heat shack, right? Because I had the grill inside,
nice.
And I had the tech with me, and that thing gets pretty hot
so
anyway.
So where'd you get that tent?
What? Chaz from Schmoes had it.
Oh, yeah. He stole it from AT&T?
I don't know. It said Schmoes on the outside, but it was one of those pop-up ones like
nice,
that.
Nice.
So anyway, but I was in there, and we bought all the kids. I didn't. Chaz and his ice fishing guys brought them all a bucket, and they all got a rod, and they also got baits as well for that. So everybody had their own equipment that they got to leave with and go. But I took a half a dozen of those buckets and I set them up around the grill. I had a little audience while I was grilling hot dogs because it was throwing off enough heat that I had all these little drying kids sitting in there on top of buckets.
That's awesome.
I cooked 250 hot dogs out there. We had a ton of fun, and I think a few fish were caught. But
cool.
That was a great day last Saturday to get out on the ice with those scouts, and I appreciate them all making time to be there.
All right. So that's cool. And I saw the hot dog pictures on the Facebook page, which was really nice. Chaz put all those up there.
Yep.
I want to wish a happy birthday to my oldest daughter, Emily Rose. And she is, of course, 32 today, which is huge.
Right. Got a couple grandbabies now.
Yeah.
Twins, girls.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So last week I got to make some fajitas. I played around with herbs. And the herb thing is, you know, this time of year, I'm planting a bigger herb garden again this year. But I'm finding out that you can substitute an awful lot of herbs and different things. So I had some ham left over. I was playing around with some potato soup because, you know, after 7 days, I like to clear everything out of the fridge. If it's 7 day shelf life, right? Ham's good for a month, but I decided to chop some up and throw some potatoes in a pot and make some potato soup. And I went crazy on cilantro on it. And I don't know if you've ever made potato soup or not, but if you haven't, you need to try it, and if you do, throw some cilantro in it because that is fantastic. But did some fajitas and did them on the grill. And so there's a really cool fajita recipe in, like, Better Homes and Gardens, my wife's cookbook. But basically you take and you're supposed to fry the steak in this recipe, but, of course, I don't do anything the way it says in the recipe. But I took the garlic EVO, and I sautéed onions and peppers. And then I dumped in some salsa and then some Worcestershire. And it makes a, just a really nice little sauce, and that's literally all there is to the sauce. The recipe calls for more, but I've been making it like this for so many years, it's just the way we like it. And I took those, they were sirloin, and I sliced them on the bias after I grilled them, and I just laid them in the pan and put the cover on it. And they want to suck up that fajita sauce.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you like fajitas.
Oh, I do. I love them.
I do, yeah. Too. It's a really easy way to do it.
Right.
So that was just an excellent way to play. And I think if you're out grilling or even in your kitchen, whatever, if you're not playing around and getting off the road and two-tracking a little bit, you're missing out on a lot of fun you can have. It was like throwing the cilantro in the potato soup. I just had a bunch of cilantro, and it was going to go bad.
Right.
And it's kind of like the soup that's going to clean out the fridge.
Yeah. Right, it's that whatever's in there soup,
yeah.
And you work with it until you get it something that's edible.
Because yeah. Otherwise, you find things in your refrigerator that are quite unpleasant.
Well, yeah, it happens.
Especially in the vegetable drawer.
Right. You know what? You're right. It's like, we go to the store, it's like, God, we need some cucumbers. You come home and there's three shriveled right. up ones in the bottom of the tray that I forgot I had.
And they're sitting in a puddle.
Yeah, right. And then you got to clean the refrigerator out and take the drawers out and all that other crap. And it's like, why do I do that? You know, the lettuce is brown when you're getting ready to make a salad. And
that's pretty disappointing.
Right.
I'm a lettuce freak. Yeah. I cut all the little brown off it.
Right. Yeah. I don't want to eat any of it either.
No.
But
if somebody serves it to you at a restaurant like that.
Oh, I know.
It's like.
Didn't you look?
Are you,
right.
Yeah. Is it me? You just have to pick somebody out and go, yeah, give him the crappy salad.
Right.
I sent him back.
Hey, I see that we were talking a little bit that you did a beer butt chicken, too, and I wanted to touch on that
yeah.
on the herbs because I took a little bit different track with that. Is I put some aromatics, whatever you want to do, rosemary, thyme, oregano, whatever it is, and I put it in the beer can in there, but I dumped the beer out and put just about an inch of chicken broth in there. So I steamed the inside of the chicken with an herb and chicken broth
mixture.
What
kind of herbs did you use?
The oregano, the thyme, and...
was it a blend, dried?
Yeah, it was a dry blend, and I rehydrated it in the chicken
sure.
broth rather than the beer, and it steamed it on the inside, right?
Was it like the Italian blend?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a fantastic blend.
Yep, and it gave it a nice different flavor than... Because a lot of times I'll use orange juice.
Right.
You know, a frozen can of orange juice works really good inside of there. Gives it that little citrusy taste as well, but this was just a little different. So I love my beer butt chickens. You know, do them on a Sunday, and then I've got pulled chicken for the whole week, and we put it in salads or pastas or whatever it is.
So you've done it with a can of frozen orange juice.
Yeah, I thawed.
I didn't even know they still made that.
Oh yeah, thawed. but you know, it's not frozen when I put it in there. But yeah, and it because it just fits inside your little beer can holder.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, it works out good.
Weird.
I suppose you could do it with lemon juice too. But I put the EVO on the outside and put the same herbs on there and let it get crisp up. But
right. Nice.
Coming up next, we got a little bit of fun in the studio. Our friends from Long Road Distillery are joining us. And we're going to be making up some custom cocktails. Stick with us. We'll be back.